I'd like to pick up reading at verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. There's a fair bit in that passage, but I just want to concentrate on one area this morning. I want to talk about dealing with the envy monster. Dealing with the envy monster. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in a family where I was loved, as were my two brothers and two sisters, but we didn't have much in the way of possessions. We didn't have a car, we didn't have a phone, we didn't have a TV, didn't even have a bike. We lived in a small home, and many of you can probably relate to this, two bedrooms and a sleep out. One bathroom, a kitchen and a lounge room, and that was it. I shared a bedroom with my two brothers. In fact, it was the sleep out that I shared with my two brothers. My sisters shared a bedroom, and of course, Mum and Dad got the other one. I drove past the place with my kids in the car some years later and said to them, that's where Grandma and Grandpa and your aunties and uncles and I lived when we were kids. And they kind of couldn't believe that we all fitted into that small house, seven of us. At the same time, as a kid, I had a friend called Peter. We went to school together, we went to church together, we played together, and we lived about 200 metres apart. Peter lived in a home where he had his own bedroom, as did his three sisters have their own bedroom. They even had a dining room as well as a kitchen. And his dad didn't just have a car. For those of you car buffs, he had the latest model Chevrolet Bel Air. Now, just let me tell you what a Bel Air is. It's kind of like a house on wheels. In fact, you kind of had to have a trailer behind you with a petrol bowser in it just to keep feeding it because it used so much petrol. Do you think I was envious? You bet I was. You see, dealing with envy is an issue that I need to deal with, and I believe that we all need to deal with, because if we don't deal with it, then it stops us from having God's best in our lives. It stops us from fulfilling what God has for us in our lives. And I reckon that we have to deal with envy at some time or another, and in fact, probably in our lives, we have to continually deal with this thing called envy, because it keeps raising its head. Envy is putting your eyes on what other people are doing or on what other people have rather than on what focusing on what God wants for you. In fact, as we picked up in that reading in Galatians chapter 5, it says, now, if we are now living by the Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Then we won't need to look for honours and popularity, which lead to envy and hard feelings. Paul's saying here to us, if you're following God's purpose for your life, then you don't have to worry about what other people are thinking, or you don't have to worry about what other people are doing, or you don't have to worry about what other people have. You don't have to envy other people because you know God's got a purpose for your life. See, when it all boils down, envy is one of two things. First thing envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives. You know, I look at other people's lives and I think, why can't I? And then it begins, doesn't it? Why can't I sing like them? Why can't I have what they've got? Why can't I write like they can? Why can't I speak like they can? You know, it's resenting what God has done and the goodness God has given to other people. That's one thing. The second thing is, and this is even more important, you see, the second thing is ignoring God's goodness in my life. You see, the Bible says that that is very destructive for us and it's going to cause us a lot of pain. So why should I avoid envy? I just want to share a few reasons why here. The first thing it is that it distracts me from God's purpose for my life. You see, when I get envious, I start looking at other people. And I lose my focus. I stop concentrating on what God wants for my life, and I start looking at other people and what other people are doing. I say, the if only. That's when it all comes out, you know? The if only I had their spiritual gifts. If only I had a passion for that like they do. You know, if only I had the same background as they do. If only I had the same advantages in life as they did. If only I had the same experiences. You see this common word there? It's if only I. They're the common words. If only I. Where's the focus? Isn't it? In fact, in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work that I have planned for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said it's serious business when we get distracted from God's purpose for our lives. Some of you might remember, in fact, I think by the look of you, you're kind of the same age as me, you might remember the 1984 Olympic Games. In the 1984 Olympic Games, there was an American runner called Mary Decker. She was running in the 800 metres and she was the hot favourite for the 800 metres. And as she was running along, she clipped the heel of the girl in front of her, Zola Budd, who was a South African girl who ran in bare feet. You might remember that. Some of you might. Anyway, she was distracted in her race. She clipped the heel of Zola Budd and she tumbled and she fell over. Not only did she lose the race, but she was disqualified. Everybody expected her to win. You see, there are many things that can trip each one of us up in life. Many things that can trip us up and cause us to be distracted from God's purpose in our life. All you have to do is turn on the TV. You see, advertising is designed to trip you up in life. Why? Because we begin to focus on things that it tells us that we need. Isn't it? That's what advertising is all about, trying to convince you that you need that product. And so, you know, it comes up with things like, you know, my dog's better than your dog because it eats Pal dog food. Or, you know, you can be better than your neighbours because you drive a Jeep Cherokee. See, advertising is based on buy me so that you can watch me and look at what I'm doing. And so, cars, clothes, whatever it is, it distracts us from our purpose in life. So that's the first thing, the first reason I want to get rid of envy. Another thing is it causes conflict. Envy causes conflict. I don't know if you thought about it. It's a major source of conflict. Why? Well, in James chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. James writes this. He said, what causes fights and quarrels amongst you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Envy is a desire that battles within us. It's one of those desires that comes from within. You see, when I want what you have, that causes conflict. And it's called envy. You see, when I envy, I not only want the grass to be my grass to be greener than yours, I want your grass to go brown. You know? It's not only that I want to drive a nicer car than you, I want you to crash yours. That's what envy can do to you. It causes conflict because I have what you want or you have what I want. Either way. You remember when you were a kid and we used to play that game, King of the Castles? How many people could be King of the Castle? There's only one, wasn't it? There's only one room for one at the top of the castle. Adults play the same games. Did you know that? We do it a little bit more sophisticated, but we still play King of the Castle. It's just done in more subtle ways. Things like, what kind of car do you drive? Or, what kind of credit card have you got? You know, someone says, well, I've got a gold credit card. Someone else says, well, I got a platinum credit card. You know, in some ways, I can't wait till they bring out the kryptonite credit card that glows in the dark. I don't know why people do that, you know, because all that says is, I've got the ability to have more debt than you. Why would you want to brag about that? Doesn't make any sense, does it? But we play the game of one-upmanship, don't we? And that's just another form of envy. If you get caught up in that, then you'll be distracted from God's purpose for your life because you're focusing on the wrong thing. And the Australian culture is actually built on envy. We've got another couple of words for it. The two words competing and comparing. Competing and comparing. So in our society, whether it's in athletics or whether it's in wealth or whether it's in prestige or whether it's in achievements, we're taught from childhood to compare or to compete. And so we compare our grades in school with one another. You know, when I was a kid, they used to actually post the grades on the notice board. And so when the exams results go out, there they were on the notice board. And you'd come out and you'd have a look at your grade and you'd see what everybody else had got in the got for their grade. What are you doing? Straight away. You're comparing, aren't you? And then what happens when we start to compete and compare? We get envious, don't we? We get envious of the ones that beat us. That's the kind of stuff that goes on. I saw a cartoon recently and it said this: envy has given me a serious sense of purpose, a motivation to compete and climb to the top. If I didn't have envy, I wouldn't have the power to be envied by everybody. His sense of envy motivates him to compete with me in climbing to the top. Just envy. It makes the system work. Well, you know, that's more true than it is funny, isn't it? Because that's what actually happens. But it causes conflict as well. Envy is the root of workaholism. In Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 4, verse 4, the New Living translates and puts it, Solomon says this: when I observe that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbours, but this too is meaningless. Like chasing the wind. But did you see that? He's saying, I have discovered why people work themselves to death. It's because they envy the things that their neighbours have. And so they keep on working and working to have those things and to have better things. There's a third reason that we need to get rid of envy. Envy actually leads to other sin. In James chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for where you find envy, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Let me ask you, can envy cause a person to lie? Some of you might have seen that show that was on some years ago called To the Manor Born. It's on reruns now. One of those shows, the lady of the manor who kind of lost all the... she had to sell the house, and she's living in the little gatehouse in the estate. But of course it's been in the family for hundreds of years, and she's kind of sees herself as part of the aristocracy of the area, part of the elite in the area, and all her friends are going on overseas holidays. She can't afford to go on an overseas holiday anymore, and some of you I can see are smiling. You've probably seen the same episode. So what does she do? She pulls the blinds on the house, she locks all the doors, makes it look like there's nobody at home, and she's sitting on a couch with a sun lamp on her to try and get a suntan so that she can appear in a 4 weeks later at all the social events with a suntan and say she's been on a holiday to Spain. Pretty elaborate way of lying, isn't it? But why? Because she envies what her friends are doing. Can envy cause a person to gossip? Oh, you bet it can. Can envy cause a person to murder? Yeah. What about the first murder? Why did Cain kill Abel? Because he envied him. What about King Saul? He tried to kill David, didn't he? Because he thought that David was becoming more popular than him. And so King Saul envied David's popularity. Envy causes all kinds of problems. Somebody said that when you are green with envy, then you're ripe for trouble. Do you know why the Pharisees crucified Jesus? Read Matthew's Gospel. Because the Pharisees crucified Jesus out of envy. They were jealous because he was more popular than they were. They were jealous because people had stopped following all the rules and regulations that they put in place and they began to follow Jesus. It says that it was out of envy that they plotted to send him to the cross. So, yeah, it leads us to other sins. But envy also makes us miserable. Envy destroys our happiness. It's self-destructive. In fact, Proverbs 14:30 actually says that. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. You know, that's pretty graphic. Pretty self-explanatory. But what's he trying to say here? He's saying that envy eats you up. Envy's worse than cancer, in a sense. It'll eat you alive. I wonder if any of you have seen that movie Amadeus, which was about the life of Mozart. In that movie, there was another composer, Antonio Salieri. And he envied Mozart. He was so consumed by envy towards Mozart that he actually went mad. Envy drove him mad. Drove him crazy. Envy can do that. We can get so preoccupied with fantasizing about somebody else's failure, because that's what Salieri did, that it actually can really drive you crazy. Envy does not work. It is eventually self-destructive. Envy can result in all kinds of pity parties. I don't know if you know that. But when you get envy, you can say, well, he just gets all the breaks. You know, they just get all the breaks. Not fair. He's the lucky one. Just imagine for a minute. You know, that person that you envy. You know, they're the guy at work who gets all the promotions. He gets the best office. He gets the nicer car. And then he turns around and wins lotto. I mean, of all things. And then tomorrow you're on the freeway and you're going to work. And you see him pulled over on the side of the freeway, and there's a car behind him with a blue light flashing. Don't you just for a minute think, got him? Eh? Because that's envy. Envy messes you up. It leads to all kinds of other sins. It makes you miserable. And God doesn't want you to be envious. You see, envy, when somebody else, you see envy when somebody else gets one up on us, particularly in our jobs. You see, doctors envy doctors. I don't know if you know that. Teachers envy teachers. Pastors envy pastors. I've seen it. Secretaries envy secretaries. Farmers envy farmers. Brothers envy brothers. Sisters envy sisters. Brothers and sisters envy each other. You know? And it goes on and on and on. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Living Bible puts it this way. Jesus said it this way. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. That's envy. We need to treat envy as if it was a cancer. You see, if I came to you and I said to you, look, I've noticed you've got a lump on your shoulder, you'd be off to the doctor and getting it cut out as fast as you could, wouldn't you? Envy's like that. We need to cut it out. It's a cancer that will prevent you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. You need to say, I'm going to focus on what God wants for me and not what's happening in other people's lives, not what other people have. I'm going to focus on what God wants for me. So how do you get rid of this thing called envy? How do I overcome envy? And I want to share five things from the Word of God that might help us with that this morning. First, resist comparing myself to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Paul writes this, we do not dare classify or compare ourselves. It's not wise. Paul's saying it's dumb. It's stupid to classify or compare ourselves to other people, because comparing is the root of envy. So as long as you begin to compare, then you will always find yourself you'll always find someone else, I should say, doing a better job than you, and that's when you become envious. Or guess what? You might find yourself doing a better job than they are, and what does that lead to? Pride. Remember that song we used to sing in Sunday school? Envy, jealousy, malice and pride, they must never in my heart abide. Some of you might remember that, but I can remember singing as a kid in Christian Endeavor actually as well. So you might find someone. Either way, when I was in year 7, I got my first bike for my birthday. And I was so proud of this bike. It had racing handles on it, and it had a light on it, and it was slick seat. I thought I was so cool. I was riding around the neighborhood on this bike, king of the castle. I kept my bike in the room, in my bedroom actually, and with my two brothers and me in the sleep out. I'd get bought in at night and I'd polish it all up, clean it. I was just so proud of it. I'd been looking forward to this for about 5 years. So, there was a big deal. I was just so excited. I was so fulfilled. I just couldn't think of anything better in the world. And I remember riding my bike to my best friend's house. That's the one with the Chev Bel Air. Yeah, I went rode my bike to my friend's house because it was his birthday party about 6 weeks after mine. I got there and I found that he'd got a bike for his birthday too. Only his was better than mine because his had gears. And mine didn't have gears. And the joy of my bike, went down. Why? Because I began to focus on what he got. You've never done that, have you? The Bible says don't compare yourself to other people. One day after the resurrection, Jesus was talking with Peter and John. And then he tells Peter, Peter, you're going to die a violent death as my servant. And Peter says, oh? And then Peter looks over at John and he says to Jesus, what about John? How's he going to die, Lord? And Jesus' answer is very interesting. You see, Jesus says to John, and if you translate it from the original in the Greek, he says, none of your business. He says, butt out. Is there, I've got a plan for your life, Peter. And I've got a plan for John's life. And if John's still around when I return, that's none of your business. You focus on the plan that I've got for your life. And God has a plan for each one of us. Because he's made each one of us unique. He's made each one of us special. And what he's saying, as he says to Peter, what he's saying to each one of us is, don't worry about what my plan is for somebody else. Concentrate on fulfilling what my plan is for you. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, a little bit further on than where we read in the reading this morning, it says, let everyone be sure that he's doing his very best, for then he will have personal satisfaction of work done well and won't need to compare himself to someone else. That's a great verse for us to give our kids. In a society where we're constantly seeing things compared, doesn't matter, it's on TV, they go to school, everywhere you look, they're compared. It's a great verse to give our kids so that they can have the personal satisfaction of one and they don't have to compare themselves with others. It really doesn't matter then, you see, what their grade is compared to others so long as they've done their best. It really doesn't matter if they don't get the award so long as they've done their best. In a society where we live by competition, as parents, we need to help our kids with the antidote so that they don't become overwhelmed with envy. Envy is a choice. You can choose to compare yourself and you can get envious, or you can choose not to. That's the first thing. Second thing, recognize my uniqueness. How do we overcome envy? Recognize that each one of us are unique. You see, God has made you unique. Nobody on this planet is like you. You have a different DNA to everybody else. That tells you that you are unique. In fact, in Psalm 139, verse 13, the New Living Translation puts it this way. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. The Bible says that God has specifically designed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, in other words, he says, you've got designer genes. You know? You have. Envy is an expression of inferiority. And it's based on insecurity. Envy occurs when you don't realize or you don't accept that you are unique, that God has created you unique, that there is nobody else in the world like you. And the antidote is to recognize uniqueness, your uniqueness. Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born and scheduled every day of my life before I began to breathe, says the psalmist. You see, God has customized you for his purpose. And when you understand that, then you begin to see the stupidity of envy. When you realize that God has custom made you, then you shouldn't say, boy, I wish God had made me shorter, or I wish God had made me taller, or I wish God had made me darker, or I wish God had made me bigger, or I wish God had made me lighter, you know, or smaller, or smarter, or dumber, or whatever. We don't say that because God has made us who he wants us to be. He's custom made you. So my advice is focus on letting your life shine instead of trying to copy somebody else's life. And then, thirdly, how do we overcome envy? Rejoice in what I do have. In Ecclesiastes 6:9, the Good News Bible puts it this way, it's better to be satisfied with what you have than to be always wanting something else. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Better be satisfied with what you have than be always wanting something else. You know, there's a good verse, that's a good verse for each one of us. Another good verse to teach our kids, actually, or our grandchildren. You know, because there's a myth that says I must have more than you in order to be happy, and there's another myth which says I must be like you in order to be happy. You don't. We shouldn't be focusing on myths, because you see, when you focus on those myths, then things like the desire to acquire begins to consume your life. You begin to be possessed by your possessions. And you know, when we've got something that we can't give it up if God asks us to, then we don't possess it, it possesses us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And Paul goes on in Philippians 4:11, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, and I suggest you read Paul's life and find out what the circumstances he went through, but he says, I've learned to be content no matter what they are. Did you notice that word learn in there? Paul says, I have learned to be content. We need to learn contentment. Don't try to be somebody that you are not. Don't envy somebody who's close to you. You know, one teenager put it this way in writing, and I read this in an article not long ago, and I thought it explained it pretty well. It said, "Ever since I was a little kid, I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be Billy Whittington. And Billy Whittington didn't even like me. But I walked like he walked, and I talked like he talked. I even went to the same high school that Billy Whittington went to." And that's when Billy Whittington changed. He began to hang around with Peter Vanderman. He walked like Peter Vanderman. He talked like Peter Vanderman. And he mixed me up. See, I began to walk like Billy Whittington, walk and talk like Billy Whittington, who walked and talked like Peter Vanderman. And then it dawned on me that Peter Vanderman walked and talked like Joey Haviland. And Joey Haviland, he walked and talked like Dave Brown. You can see where this is going. And so here I am, I'm walking and talking like Billy Whittington's imitation of Peter Vanderman's imitation of Johnny Haviland, who is trying to walk and talk like Dave Brown. And do you know who Dave Brown was always walking and talking like? Of all people, Dopey James Wellington. That little pest. That little pest walks and talks like me. You see, you are unique. You are different. Rejoice in what you do have, and don't worry about what you don't have. Some single people say, "I wish I was married." Some married people say, "I wish I was single." You know? The Bible says, "I have learned to be content." That word "learned" is a key. Contentment does not come naturally. Contentment is something we need to learn. And many of us need to enroll in the school of contentment. And the first lesson in the school of contentment is, I already have more than I deserve. I already have more than I deserve. Contentment is understanding that God has provided all I need for my current happiness. Not for tomorrow, not for yesterday, but for today. And then, in terms of envy, how do I respond to it? Respond to others in love. That's how I can overcome envy, is respond to others in love. Why? Well, because God says love does not envy. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. See, love is the opposite of envy. You can't love somebody and envy them at the same time. How does love happen? Well, Jesus put it this way when he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Pretty simple. Let me ask you, is that a natural thing to do? Love your neighbor as yourself? No way. Is it easy? Depends on the neighbor, eh? Is that what the world teaches? No, it's all about me, isn't it? That's what the world teaches. What about the best-selling books? Is that what they teach? No. But love your neighbor as yourself is the key to happiness. How do you do that? In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, Paul says a very simple thing. He says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Envy naturally does the exact opposite. Envy rejoices when they see somebody fail and weeps when they see somebody succeed. But love rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep. And I've discovered that when I'm envious, I miss out on so much happiness in life, because envy keeps me from sharing other people's joy. You see, if you're envious when someone has a baby, then you can't share in their joy. If you're envious when someone gets married, then you can't share in their joy. If you're envious when someone gets a promotion, you can't share in their promotional joy. You see, if the only times that you have joy is when things actually happen to you, then you're going to miss out on so much joy in life. On the other hand, if you learn not to be envious and you learn to enjoy other people's lives and other people's positive experiences, then you're going to be happy a good portion of your life, because good things are happening to people around you all the time. And so when you share in their joy, you get the benefit, even though it didn't happen to you. And then finally, how do we overcome envy? Refocus on pleasing God. In order to eliminate envy, I must refocus on pleasing God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul writes this. He says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He's saying, hey, look at life from God's perspective. Realize that material things are only temporary. And focus on what's going to last forever. It's a bit like what Brian was talking about earlier on the service. Don't set your minds on things that are only going to last 10 years or so. Focus on something that's going to last for eternity. You see, when you do that, competition becomes irrelevant. When you focus on the eternal, climbing the ladder of success becomes irrelevant. You see, the antidote for envy is to be caught up in fulfilling God's purpose for your life. And everything else becomes unimportant then. There was an article in Psychology Today a couple of years ago, and it was about envy, and it said this. This is in Psychology Today, which is a totally secular magazine. But it said this. The end of the idea that you can have it all and do it all is in sight. The new reality is that you are not going to get your heart's desires. Not everybody who expected to retire at 40 will realize their goal. Not everybody who expected to reach a career objective will succeed. Not everybody expecting to marry will find a partner. Not everyone who expected to be a parent but deferred childbearing will be able to have a family. And it went on and on and on and on. The question I've got, is this the age of envy for you? Because it doesn't have to be. If you just be who God has made you to be, you don't have to worry about what other people have or what other people are doing. You don't have to worry about all the rest. So I want to challenge you this morning to take this verse with you out of this message. Psalm 119, verses 31 and a bit of 37. Make it your prayer this week. Lord, don't let me make a mess of things. Just tell me what to do and I will do it. Turn me away from wanting any other plans than yours. Let me repeat it. Lord, don't let me make a mess of things. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Turn me away from wanting any other plans than yours. Make it your prayer this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a great God. We thank you that your word is so practical for us. And Father, we thank you that as we've been looking at this topic of envy this morning, that your spirit speaks to us. As we go into this week, help us to take that prayer with us. Lord, don't let me make a mess of things. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Turn me away from wanting any other plans than yours. For we ask it in Jesus' name.